In this Psalm 85, of all the Psalms, this, of course, Psalm 22, Psalm 69, Psalm 110, these all speak about our Lord Jesus. And our Lord told His disciples after His resurrection, and He had them all, and He said, all that's written in the law of Moses and in the Psalms and in the prophets, they're all about me. They concern me. They concern me. And when you're talking about preaching the Lord Jesus from the Old Testament, you know, just verse 10 alone would be worth this psalm and preaching from just verse 10. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Oh my. God's mercy, God's truth, God's righteousness, God's peace meet only in one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look here at verse 1 together. Lord, Thou hast been favorable unto Thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Now the author of this psalm, David, he speaks of God's past mercy to the land of Israel and the sons of Jacob, and how He delivered them out of Egypt's bondage and captivity. But all believers are the true sons of Jacob. And I can prove that from the New Testament time and time again. And they're the seed of Abraham. They really are. When you talk about the sons of Jacob, he said, you know, there's been fable on the land, brought back the captivity of Jacob. Now, I want you to keep this, but I want you to look in Galatians with me. Look in Galatians chapter 3. I hadn't seen this in a while, and I thought this would be interesting to you. And talking about being the sons of Jacob, the seed of Jacob. You know, I'd say all believers are the true sons of Jacob and the seed of Abraham. Look what he says down here in verse 7, Galatians 3:7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, you know, Abraham believed God and God counted to him for righteousness. Well, we believe God, and we're made righteous in Christ. Know therefore that they which are of faith are the same as the children of Abraham. Now look what it goes down here and says now in verse 28. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you all are one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So we're, you know, he's a Jew, which is not one outwardly, but he that's one inwardly. Circumcision, not of the flesh, but of the heart. And that's where we're true Jew. You're looking at a real son of Abraham. A real true Jew. And that's, you know, those fellows that live in Israel over there, they may have some heritage in them, but most of them couldn't trace their lineage back nowhere. But when you look at every believer, you can say, that's the son of Jacob. That's one whom God loved. That's one whom God set His affection on. And He set His affection on before the foundation of the world. And then when He talks about the land, that thou hast been favorable unto the land, you know, the land that He's talking about here, as far as God's people is concerned, is the kingdom of Christ. God's kingdom on this earth. And the Lord Jesus Christ and His church are true Israel and true sons of Jacob. Our Lord said in Malachi 3:6, He said, you know the reason you sons of Jacob are not consumed is because I'm the Lord and I change not. That's the only reason. And I'll tell you what, and when He talked about bringing back the captivity, our Lord Jesus brought us from captivity. And you know what kind of captivity we were bound by? Sin. The worst kind of bondage that a person can possibly be in is sin. He can't set himself free from it. He can't save himself from it. He can't help it. It's his nature. He's born with it. And our Lord Jesus, He came down And he redeemed us from our sin and brought us out from the bondage of sin and set us free once and for all. Amen. Yes, sir. Then look in verse 2 and 3 with me. Thou hast forgiven. Thou hast covered all their sin. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned from the fierceness of thine anger. I want you to notice four things here. Stand out. Really stand out. The author of all spiritual blessings, the author of everything. Thou hast. It says four times, thou hast. Look at who thou is. You know, oh my. Thou hast delivered. Thou hast been favorable. Thou hast forgiven. Thou hast covered. Thou hast taken away wrath. And what he's saying is that salvation is of the Lord. Of its entirety. All it originated with God. It originated with him. And when it's finished, and it's going to be consummated by him when we're conformed to the image of his blessed Son. And the people who are blessed are his people. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And you know how we become God's people? By choice. He chose us. Chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Not only did he choose us, he said, no, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. And I'll tell you another thing, we're his because he bought us and he paid for us. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. And all that the Father giveth me, they're going to come to me. And I tell you, he bought us and paid for us with his own precious blood. And then we're his people because he called us. One way you can know you're one of God's people, did you get called? Did God call you to himself? Did he call you from sin to righteousness, from death to life, from darkness to light? You know, you can know you want to make your calling. He said, when you're going to make your calling first, then your election. But the election starts with calling. Ain't that right? And I tell you what, that's why we keep on preaching the gospel. God's going to, you know, that's how he saves these people, by the gospel. And then, oh my, listen here. He says, thou hast forgiven all their iniquity. He did. Thou hast covered all their sin. And he forgave all our sins and all of our iniquities, but it was not without a price. Our Lord was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him. Oh my. And our Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. And he says, you covered all their sin. You know, you remember the mercy seat. The mercy seat in the tabernacle. It was behind the veil. Out of sight. And then when Aaron or whatever high priest it was, he went behind that veil once a year. But he went there with blood. Couldn't go in there without blood. And when he took that blood and he put that blood on that mercy seat, that means that God, when he viewed that mercy seat, he seen sins covered, sins forgot, sins forgiven. Because that mercy seat, well, Christ is our mercy seat. And you know what he put on that mercy seat? His own blood. He entered in once with his own blood into the holy place and obtained eternal redemption for us. And I tell you this much, when God says that he's forgiven you all sins, you know what he said? He said, those sins and iniquities, I won't even remember them anymore. I won't even remember them. I won't remember them. I tell you, all these, God's forgiven all their sins. How many sins you reckon we had before he saved us? How many sins have we had since he saved us? How many sins we're going to have before we leave this world? Well, God said, I forgive every one of them. And you say, well, how can he forgive us? He forgave us our sin before you and I was ever born. Christ died for my sin before I ever existed. And that's what the gospel tells us. It tells us that Christ died for our sins And he put them away by his own precious blood. Having his blood cleansed us from how many sins? Oh, listen. He forgave those that you know you intended not to do. Nope. Did you ever sin on accident? No. Having forgiven you all your sin. Oh, taking away. And I tell you what. And I tell you, that's these blessings. He turned away this because all his sins were forgiven. God's wrath is taken away. Taken away all the wrath of God. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Now look here in verse 4 and 5. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Now we just got through reading about he took away his fierce anger. Took away everything that would make him angry. And in salvation, in this salvation, in thy salvation, that's what he calls the God of our salvation. In the salvation, God's wrath is removed from us and upon us. You know, he says God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. And then, the Lord, he put away all the wrath of God. God reconciled the world unto himself, not imputing their sins unto them, or their iniquities unto them. So that's God's reconciled. God's reconciled by the death of Christ, the blood of Christ. And then how was our enmity? We were enmity in our. How was our enmity slain? How did our enmity towards God go away? Well, when he regenerated us and gave us the new birth, when we were given new hearts, new wills, new natures, that new heart, that new nature, it cannot do nothing but love God. It's not angry at God. God's reconciled. We're reconciled. He loves us, and we love him because that new heart is in us. Ain't that right? He slew that enmity. He took it away. You ever remember being at enmity with God? Oh my. And you know how both of these are accomplished? By the power of God. In the day of his power, his people are made willing. Made willing. And you know, here's the thing. The wrath of God is turned away from us by our Lord's obedience, our Lord's death. And God puts in regeneration the Holy Spirit in us. And we just got to have Christ. We just got to. And he puts a heart of love in us. Then look what else it says now. Just go down here in verse 6. So when he says don't be angry, he's not going to be angry. Can't be angry because what Christ has done. And then he says here in verse 6, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? Now when he says revive us again, I tell you what happened. We were like dead men. We were dead men. We were like Ezekiel's dry bones. God sent Ezekiel down there and said, son of man, can these bones live? Lord, thou the only one knows that. If you do it, they can. But if I do it, they can't. And he said, that's the way we were. We were like Ezekiel's bones. And God came along. And he didn't just revive us, but he gave us life in Christ. He spoke to us in the gospel. And he brought us from death to life. He brought us out of darkness into light. And he gave us life in Christ. And will you revive us again and again and again? We sung that song Sunday night. Wilt thou revive us, O Lord? Wilt thou revive us again? I tell you, I need reviving. And that's why we come to services. To get our hearts refreshed, our spirits refreshed, our souls refreshed. Get them revived. I don't know how many people comes to a service and they'll come so tired. They'll come so burdened down. They'll come out of the world or off of a job and they feel so unclean. And they'll come to a service And then they leave and say, oh, I'm so thankful that I was there. God so blessed me. God so encouraged me. God so refreshed me. And that's why, will you revive us? God, revive us. We're not looking for a great big revival the way all these people are. Just revive us, our hearts. Me, you, individuals. That's what he's talking about. Oh, my. And I tell you, your people, then he says, your people will rejoice in you. Oh, they, my people, oh, I tell you something we don't rejoice in. We don't rejoice in us. We don't rejoice in our doings. We never rejoice in anything about ourselves. You know, Paul said it like this. He said, being confident of this one thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, he shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. But we rejoice in him. We rejoice in him. We absolutely have no confidence. The scriptures tells us we have no confidence in the flesh. But we rejoice in Christ Jesus and worship God in the spirit. You know how much confidence I have in my flesh and your flesh? I can't get enough zeros to show you. That's the way it is, ain't it? And I tell you, every one of us are that way. It's not just one person. It's all of us are that way. And I tell you, God revive us again. And then look what it said. Oh, I love this right here. Oh, how I love this. Verse 7. Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. Oh, Lord, show us thy mercy. Show us thy mercy. You know, Jeremiah said, it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, and his compassions fail not. And it's the Lord's mercies that keeps us from being consumed. And it's all mercy from first to last. You know, mercy passed by us when we were polluted in our blood like that infant cast out and covered our nakedness. Huh? Oh, mercy come and robed us with the very righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mercy came and washed away our sins, gave us repentance and faith. Mercy keeps us in the way, and mercy won't let us go. Not until mercy has finished its work and conforms us to the image of God's blessed Son. Mercy's what we need. Mercy's is what he's got. And mercy's what he gives us. Mercy. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Oh my. And I tell you what Christ says, grant us thy salvation. You notice it says thy salvation. Grant us thy salvation. Oh my. God's salvation, you know, it started with him. It continues with him. And he come and he's the one that applied it to us. We'd have never known anything about salvation had he not come and taught us and applied what Christ did for us. And we certainly won't see the inside of God's heaven unless he consummates this thing of salvation. Huh? And what I'm telling you is it's all of grace. Grace, 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 grace. That's one of the most blessed words that God ever taught a human being in this world is grace and mercy. If you really understand it, that's two of the most blessed words you'll ever hear in the English language. Huh? And all the work whereby a dead sinner, defiled sinner, a damned sinner, is lifted from the dunghill and washed and made ready for the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and God before him all through eternity is only because of him. And you know, that's why he says, Lord, grant us that perfect, perfect salvation. Oh, it's perfect. You know why it's perfect? Because God's perfect. Christ is perfect. What kind of salvation could he give besides perfect salvation? Oh, that's such a blessing to me. Oh, thy mercy, O Lord, show us thy mercy. Mercy beggars. You go through the scriptures. You go through the gospels and see how many times somebody comes to the Lord for mercy. That sinner, the publican, smote on his breast, said, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. That Syrophoenician woman that brought her daughter, the Lord said, Lord, have mercy on my daughter. That's what people want. That's what people need. And I tell you what, oh God, please, 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 never, never, ever let us get over your mercy. Mercy beggars, mercy beggars. Then look what he said in verse 8. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. And listen to this, for he'll speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. And that's what we're doing here tonight. We come here tonight to hear what God says. To hear what the Lord God will speak. If he speaks to us, he's going to speak through this word. Huh? And how vital, how precious is God's blessed word to his people. It's by his word and by the gospel he speaks peace to us in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, his word is the foundation of our faith. How firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. Our faith, how did it come? By hearing. Hearing what? The word of God. It's the very foundation of it. Very foundation of it. And I tell you, it's the source of all of our comfort. And it's the only way we're ever going to grow is by his blessed word. And it's the children's bread. And let me tell you, don't never. I told you I read about three prominent men who said that they weren't Christians anymore. And told all the books they had written and how accomplished they were. But they, every one of them said, I'm not a Christian anymore. I'm not a Christian. I don't want to be called a Christian. Then, oh my, let's not turn back to sin, not turn back to beggarly elements like works. Don't turn back to free will. Don't turn back to idols. Don't turn back to ceremony. Don't turn back to rituals. They're just beggarly elements. There's nothing good in them. And then, oh my, and I tell you this, we find all we need in him, and we find our rest in him. And there is no, God will not provide us anything or protect us against sin and keep us from apostasy. It's only place you can find it at is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? You know the reason you and I haven't fallen away? Christ won't let us. And I've said this, and you know I've said it time and time again, if a man can quit, he'll quit. He'll go home and sit down on the porch and twiddle his thumbs and act like he's as happy as a hog in mud. But oh my God, save us. Don't let us go back to them weak and beggarly elements. And the only place and we got protection against sin and provision against it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? Oh my. Then look what he said in verse 9. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, and that glory may dwell in our land. How near is salvation to us? How near is it? It's here, now, in us. I mean, it can't be any nearer than in us. Oh, our Lord is always near, and always with them that fear him. Always. I don't care what the circumstances are. I don't care what they are. You know, the man that fears God doesn't fear circumstances. He's not afraid of circumstances. Because our Lord said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And he said he'll be with you. You know, it says that, what does it say there? That glory may dwell in our land. glory may dwell in our land. You know, he's going to be glorified, and may his glory dwell in us and in his kingdom on this earth. And then look in verse 10. Oh my goodness. What a verse of scripture. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. You're talking about a declaration. You're talking about good news. Now you look at these four attributes of God. We lost every one of them in our father Adam. We lost them all. We lost mercy. We lost truth. We lost peace. We lost righteousness. We lost them all. Mercy willed to save man. Mercy delighted to save man. And peace wanted to join with mercy and come. But truth said, the soul that sinneth that has to die, I will by no means clear the guilty. And if you're going to be saved by righteousness of your own, you've got to have righteousness from the day you're born until the day you die. You've got to be perfectly obedient. And if you're not, then death, the sentence of death is passed upon you. But now wait a minute. Wait a minute. All of these attributes was manifested in our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, these attributes were in him because he's God. And mercy and truth met together in Christ. Mercy said, I want to save the sinner. Truth said, I can't. Righteousness said, I can't. I want to extend peace. So they met in Christ on the cross. Mercy and truth met right there. In the head and body and broken body of our Lord Jesus. Righteousness and peace, they kiss one another. And God looks at him now and says, that's how God can be just. That's how he can justify sinners like ourselves. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. To who? Them that believe. Mercy now can be given to us. We can have peace. Because Christ upheld truth. Christ upheld righteousness. And God accepted him and said, I saw the travail of his soul and I'm satisfied. Bless his name. I tell you what. And I, you know, the only hope for a sinner in this world is what God did for us in Christ. Amen. And I found that to be... God can be just and true and righteous and yet turn around and give us mercy and give us grace and give us peace. Because it all met there in Christ. They kissed one another there. Oh my. Oh, what a declaration. What a truth. Then look what it says in verse 11. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. You know, there's a lot of different things that's been said about that. The truth sprung up out of the earth, and I'm going to tell you how it did it, by the same way mercy and truth was. Christ on that cross. You know, they put men on trees. They didn't build crosses. They actually had trees. Christ was hung on a tree. And they'd cut down a tree and make a cross out of a tree. Or just use the cross, the tree like this here. Hand over hand, fist, foot over foot. And our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on that cross, truth, just like a seed that had been planted, it brought forth fruit perfectly, clearly, and powerfully when our Lord Jesus Christ was lifted up on that cross. And then look what else it says there. And righteousness looks down on from heaven where Christ is, and that righteousness, when we look for righteousness, what do we look at? We look to him. We look to Him. Oh, I tell you, in Him truth is found, and righteousness comes down from Him, comes down from Him, but Him alone. And then let me wind up with this. Verse 12 and 13. Yea, the Lord shall give good. Does he ever give you good? Oh, bless His name. Oh, listen. Oh, God is good. It's the goodness of God that led us to repentance. Oh, my. Every good and perfect gift comes from Him. And the Scriptures tells us nothing good will He withhold from them, from His people. And I tell you something else. His eternal good is for us. He said He works all things together for our good. Oh, how good is God? How can we tell? How can we speak? How can we think? How can we imagine? How can we, in our hearts and in our minds and our soul, understand how good God is to His people? You can't measure it. We could spend the rest of our lives talking about how good is God. He's good in His Father. He's good in the Son. He's good in the Holy Ghost. He's good in His Word. He's good in His salvation. He's good in His providence. Oh, He's good. He is good. And I tell you what, then look what it says there in verse 13. And righteousness shall go before Him. Oh my, everywhere our Lord went, righteousness went before Him. Righteousness is what He is. Righteousness is what He accomplished. And I tell you, it's by how we're justified and accepted. And that's all that's gone before us. And then look what it says. Look what it says there. And He shall set us in the way of His steps. Oh, that's righteousness. There it is. Come here. Step right there and follow me. Where I step, you step. And He said He'll set us in those steps. Oh, what a gospel. What a gospel. What blessed truth. Well, I got to shut up. I just got to stop. I know, you know, I'm stirred up. Boy, I tell you, that red gospel does something for me. Nothing else does in this world. Don't it, you? Our Father, oh our Father, the precious name, blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, the One who loved our very souls and gave Himself for us, called us by His grace, keeps us by His power, will someday conform us to the image of Your own blessed Son. And Father, we're ready for that day to be when You're ready. So we'll wait on You till the time comes, till our time comes. God bless these dear saints. Thank You for Your word tonight. God bless it to the hearts. God bless it to the ears. And Lord, bless it to our understanding. And keep us for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Oh, how merciful, how merciful, blessed Lord, how merciful Thou art to me. Oh, how merciful, how merciful, blessed Lord, how merciful Thou art to me. I'll see you Wednesday.